Madmar's Notebook for September 2nd, Dog Days of Podcasting 2015. This is going to be a travel day for me. I don't know if I'm going to have time to record and upload something, so I'll pre-record it and post it tonight for release sometime tomorrow. So I finally remembered that thing I was meaning to talk about maybe a week or so ago. It's about photography. And I tend to think of myself as a flash photographer as opposed to a natural light photographer. And it's when you get into photography, you'll find out that there's so many ways that you can, so many binary ways of describing photographers. Some that are, you know, they think of themselves as purists, they won't post-process. Some of them will go all out with photoshopping. Some people that will, like me, will use flash. Others that will use quote-unquote natural light. Others that are, you know, film versus digital. Believe it or not, film, that four-letter F word, is making a comeback, or at least that's what I keep hearing. And then, yeah, so what I was going to talk about with this flash, the technology around flash has been kind of interesting, I guess, ever since I got into photography. Things have been developing, or at least the technology has, to make taking pictures with flash easier. Those of you that are kind of into it probably have a flash in addition to their camera. But the ones built into a camera, those use the same principles. A lot of the most popular ways to use what's called TTL, flash metering, which is setting the camera to run on automatic to make a perfect exposure using the built-in flash or the flash attached to your camera. And just it fires a little pulse of light for the real exposure, that little pre-flash pulse. It determines the metering of what's coming into the lens. So TTL stands for through the lens metering. The camera uses that little pulse and the exposure that it takes during that little pulse to figure out how powerful to make the big flash that exposes the real picture. So all of this happens within a very short fraction of a second. And a lot of it is automated, and there's two camps among people that like to use flash. The ones that like to shoot manual versus the ones that are TTL or automatic. And both ways take a bit of skill. It's just like totally different skills. Or yeah, I'd say it's different enough that you have to think about your setups differently. And I tend to fall into the land of the manual flash people. I guess the most popular way to call it are the strobists, because most, if not all of us, learned how to use a flash by reading the strobist blog. You can find it on strobist.com. And this guy, David Hobby, he's been a photographer for 20, probably 30 years. And when he started his blog, he became among the top 10 most popular blogs in the blogosphere at the time. But among photography people, yeah, he's one of the big gurus, even though he doesn't have the, I guess before he started his blog, he didn't have the credentials for it. Not like like Joe McNally, which is one of the living legends of photography. So, yeah, how did I get on this track? I know I'm going too long already. Anyway, I like to shoot manual as opposed to shooting an automatic, because that's how I learned, and I believe it's easier to learn how to use your tools if you keep things as simple as possible, at least when you're starting out. So that's why I ended up learning how to shoot manual and how to shoot flash in manual. I know I can shoot using TTL metering and using auto exposure compensation. It's just that I once you learn how to shoot something in manual, you find ways to do things the way you're comfortable with. And in the case of manual flashes, it's also much cheaper than buying TTL flashes. So I ended up, I think I still have one Nikon flash that I keep, but I hardly ever use, and now I have only a bunch of manual flashes. And for a price, it's I guess dirt cheap compared to what a top of the line Nikon or Canon flash can what they go for, but I still produce the same amount of light that their flagship flashes produce, and if it's in manual, I can make full use of it. There's some features that the TTL flashes are have over a manual flash, but gotta say, the stuff coming out of China these days, they're not just knockoffs anymore. They've got a solid position in this budget area of manual flashes. They have some features that even the big boys don't have. The current ones I'm using, I've been using it at least a year, I don't see, maybe a little over a year is when it first came out, the Cactus line of RF60s. A totally manual flash, but they have a built-in transceiver, so I can control the power remotely through my trigger on the camera. Now, normally for this kind of if I were to get a similar setup in Nikon or Canon, it would cost what, a $500 or $600 flash plus the transmitter, which I guess it's only built into the camera body for Nikon and Canon. So it's hard to say, well, except to say that the manual flash is $150 versus $500 to $600 for Nikon equivalent. So I come out way out ahead if shooting manual. But the real benefit for me is that if you set something on manual and you lock down your settings, you don't have to figure out or recalculate your exposure from shot to shot. If you learn really quickly that if you have the same light shooting the same amount of photons at the same or even different subjects that are roughly the same distance away, you don't have to change your settings between shot to shot. So why should your camera keep trying to reinvent the wheel and re-meter between every shot? And then there's that one in 20 times when you shoot TTL when something just goes wrong and the metering goes haywire, and you yeah, that kind of gets annoying after enough times, and then it makes you kind of glad when you go and switch to manual and everything is consistent all the time. Oops, got interrupted there. Kind of lost track of my thoughts, but I think I ended up on a good breaking point. So anyway, I'll listen to this and I'll pick it up again on tomorrow's recording. So until then, talk to you tomorrow.